Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Our government.
Iran.
Your government.
Proliferation.
Public option.
A serious insurgency.
We do have a plan. We're working on it.
Just to give you a sense of perspective. What's going on?
It's Monday, time to check out what's on the agenda, and there's a lot to talk about today, so let's get right to it. We've got Marcus Mabry here, international business editor for our partner, the New York Times, and Jonathan Marcus, diplomatic correspondent for our partner, the BBC. Good morning to both of you.
Morning.
Okay. Good morning. Good. First up, Obama is in Asia this week, 3 days in China, and he spoke at a town hall meeting with Chinese students in Shanghai. Tomorrow he's going to meet with President Hu Jintao and then the Prime Minister Wen Jiabao on Wednesday. And this is what he said, had to say, the president, about U.S. and Chinese relations on Saturday when he was in Tokyo.
No one nation can meet the challenges of the 21st century alone. And the United States and China will both be better off when we are able to meet them together.
Okay, so Jonathan, people have been mentioning many things that President Obama will be talking about with Chinese leaders: the global economy, climate change, nuclear proliferation. He will probably be talking about currency and the devaluation of the Chinese yen. Which of those things do you think he's most likely to get some progress on?
I think there might be small progress on many of them. I'm not expecting any dramatic breakthroughs. I think, though, it's really about tone. It's about continuing this effort by successive American administrations to, you know, bring China on board, as the Bush administration used to call it, a responsible stakeholder in the international system. I think increasingly now China is more and more important for the United States. The financial crisis revealed the relationship between the two economies in the starkest terms. But also, when you look more broadly at President Obama's whole approach to the world, his efforts to extend a hand to America's enemies, to place the focus on diplomatic consensus building, clearly China is a key player there, whether it's in dealing with Iran, whether it's a question of dealing with North Korea's nuclear program, whether it's a question of bolstering another key ally of China, Pakistan. So China is more and more important as a player when America looks across a wholly diverging and wide range of foreign policy issues.
Okay, well, we'll be following President Obama during his 3 days in China, but let's move back home to the health care debate. The Senate is waiting for Harry Reid to bring the health care bill to the floor. Here's Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell speaking on Fox News Sunday.
Look, we spent 4 weeks on a farm bill in the last Congress, 8 weeks on an energy bill earlier this decade. This will be on the floor for quite a long time. I think it ought to be on the floor at least as long as it's been in Harry Reid's office.
So, Marcus, that sounds like a threat of a filibuster to me.
Well, the Republicans probably won't be able to pull off a filibuster, which is pretty much a Democrat's only hope of this, because if the Republicans could, then this thing is going to die. And if that's the case, then Harry Reid would never bring it to the Senate floor. I think Mitchell McConnell's, you know, beating his chest there a little bit and talking about how, you know, we can expect that rhetoric a lot this week. This week we can expect Republicans to say, well, look at how long we've taken to do other important pieces of legislation. Here we're talking about 18% of the American economy. We clearly can't rush it through. Harry Reid can't afford to have it languish for a long time once he introduces it, which probably won't be this week, but we can expect the Republican rhetoric, and already they're putting out some, one might argue, really politically effective ads against Democrats and conservative places that voted for the House version.
So I think many people have been surprised by how large of a discussion there's been over abortion. Is this kind of like the Ralph Nader of the health care bill? Is this kind of like the spoiler that it's splitting up the Democrats and hurting the chances for the health care reform to go through?
Well, this is really, you know, the unseemly part of this whole debate is that what you're looking at here is you're looking at a battle, as we often say, you know, the political cliche, for the future of the Democratic Party, and they're the majority party. And what we're seeing right now is conservatives versus more progressive Democrats, and that battle we can expect to keep going on. There's a real danger here, ironically, for the president, actually. You know, we saw a kind of roll back on the environmental goals and goals for Copenhagen. We're going to see now roll back on abortion rights issues. There could come a point here where the president, who's already having a very hard time convincing conservatives to go along with health care reform, actually faces kind of upheaval from progressives on lots of issues for saying, you know what, you promised us a different kind of leadership and you haven't delivered. He could be in trouble from both ends, and that's what he has to watch out for.
Okay, let's go to Afghanistan now. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says the United States has delivered a message to Hamid Karzai. Here she is on This Week with George Stephanopoulos yesterday.
We're looking to see tangible evidence that the government, led by the president, but going all the way down to the local level, We'll be more responsive to the needs of the people. We'll deliver the services that the people of Afghanistan want, who do not want a return to the Taliban, but they want a government that actually can function on their behalf.
Okay, so Jonathan, first of all, do we know that Karzai has clearly received that message, and do we expect him to actually heed it and follow those guidelines she just put out?
I think he'd be deaf if he hadn't been hearing that message over successive days and indeed weeks. I think there was every evidence that many people in the Western coalition that are involved in Afghanistan was rather hoping that he might not emerge as Afghanistan's president again. Well, he has. I think for all the demands that he change his ways, and they're clearly sincere, I think maybe people are also beginning to think a little bit about the value of demonizing Mr. Karzai. He's the man they've got. They pushed the democratic process. He emerged as the victor. He's the guy they're going to have to deal with. So clearly there's hope that he gets the message, hope that there will be reform, but not a lot of people I speak to are tremendously convinced that there is going to be a dramatic change in the way the Afghan government runs its affairs.
And President Obama has said that he's going to announce a decision on troop levels in Afghanistan as soon as he returns from Asia. And have we heard anything coming from the Karzai government about their opinion about troop levels and whether they should increase?
Well, I think it's quite clear that more troops are needed. Of course, the Karzai government is very interested in having a stepped-up program of training Afghan police and security forces as well. I mean, this is an announcement that clearly has taken some time for the Obama administration to deliver on. Some people say he's dithering. Some people say he's applying due diligence and looking through all the options very carefully. You can imagine in a country like Britain here, you know, we're talking about the possibility of additional British troops going to Afghanistan, all contingent on what the president decides. So this is a huge issue, not just in the United States, but in Britain and indeed in many other European countries who have troops involved on the ground.
Okay, so quickly, Marcus, let's go to Austin, Texas, where we've got Republican governors from all over the country gathering this week. The new governors from New Jersey and Virginia are going to be headed down there. And it seems like lately the story about the Republican Party has been all about infighting. Is that what's going to happen at the meeting in Texas?
Yep.
Okay, so moving on.
That's about it. Yeah, the different sides of the Republican Party take different lessons from what happened in New Jersey and Virginia. The conservatives say this shows us that we can win if we're fighting an aggressive. The moderates say, in fact, it shows us that moderate and centrist candidates can win, especially those who, like the governor of Virginia, who do not emphasize their social conservative backgrounds. He really de-emphasized it. And Chris in New Jersey also didn't really run on a very conservative social agenda. He ran on economic issues. So it's going to be an interesting fight there. We can also expect, you know, look at Charlie Crist. Look and see this week if Charlie Crist, the Republican governor of Florida, has a target on his back, because that target would be, take aim, that would be conservatives.
And I got to count all the Palin books that they're reading down there.
Okay, Marcus Mabry is the international business editor for our partner, the New York Times, and Jonathan Marcus, diplomatic correspondent for our partner, the BBC. Thanks so much. That's your agenda for the week. We're also waiting for retail numbers to be released in about an hour.